Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf chet, and we are holding, we got up to yesterday, we talked about the tzitz, the relationship of the tzitz to the kal v'chomer for tefillin, and how do we know that the tzitz is not meratz if it's broken. That was lastly, we learned whether we darshan metzach mitzcho or not, and that was the machlokas we had yesterday between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now, we're up to Neima Hanitanoi Kanitanoi, which is about one-third of the way down. And this brings us back to the main sugya. The main sugya, remember, started with the machlokas between Reb Nachman and Reb Sheshes, which is the machlokas Amoroyim, about whether Tumah is Hutra B'Tzibur or Tumah is Dechuya B'Tzibur. And that led us yesterday into the machlokas Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, which is machlokas Tanoim, which is the same. And today, we want to identify yet an earlier machlokas about this, which is Neima Hani Tanoi Kani Tanoi. Apparently, the nafkamina that we had over here between the Tanoim is also another machlokas, which we see in the Braita. And that machlokas has to do already with the way in which we actually act in terms of the Yomim that come before Yom HaKippurim during the Prisha and the Prisha of the Kohen Aser V'Sapara. Because we find that there's an interesting machlokas, the Tanya. Echad zeh v'echad zeh, whether we're talking about the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur during his Prisha, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol who was going to be Sarif as Apara, we're talking about his Prisha. Basically, both of them, we would need to be Mazin Alof Kol Shiva. All 7 days of the Prisha, we would do a super hazoya. And we used all of the chataot, meaning all of the parah adumes. Remember, the parah adumes is called paras chatas because it's called chatati, even though it isn't really. Mikol chataot shayusha. And remember that we went out of our way to preserve every single one of the parah adumes that were ever burned, and each one by name, and there was a little bit that was set aside. So we used every single parah adumes at any kohen in this situation would experience the whole history of Tyre of Klal Yisrael from the beginning. And this was done for both of those Kohanim, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, what do we got to go crazy for? Ein mazin alav l'shlishi v'shvi'i b'vad. We do a regular Isaiah, third day, seventh day. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim says, it depends. The Kohen Aser V'Tapara, yes. Over there we do all 7 days, as you said. But the Kohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippurim, over there, we do not. Ein mazin alav, ela shlishi v'shvi'i. Now, it would appear that the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is a machlokas about whether we are focusing on the dinim of Tyra or we're not focusing on the dinim of Tyra. So I understand that the machlokas is like this. Rabbi Meir, who says every single day, makes super-duper sure that this Kohen is super-duper tahor. I mean, that must be because, you know, Tyre is a real serious issue. Even though we're talking about a carbon tzibur, and even though Tuma is okay to bring betzibur, we still want to go out of our way to make every possible attempt to make sure that everything is being done betyre. Okay, so apparently he holds Tuma is dechuya betzibur, and therefore the Torah doesn't like the Tuma that's there and wants us to do our best. So we do our best. We do our super best. But Rabbi Yossi, who says, what do you got to do your super best? I understand. I mean, you want to go ahead and do regular shlishi v'shvi, I understand that. But Tuma is heteri b'tzibur. There's no reason to go out of your way to do crazy stuff. And since it's heter b'tzibur, there's no reason to overdo it. Why do it every single day? Come on. I mean, if that's really the machlok, and that's a very simplistic way of understanding the machlok, it's between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. I mean, if that's really the point, so then if Rabbi Yossi holds that it's heter b'tzibur, so explain to me why are we doing, on an off chance that the Kohen is tameh, I mean, we're going to do a shlishi v'shvi'i, why are we doing it? I mean, the only answer you could say is that we're doing it because we're following the remez in the miluim, right? And in the miluim, we did the hazoya of the dam on Aaron all 7 days. But if that's true, then he would have to admit that it's all 7 days. But he doesn't admit it's all 7 days. So then what is the point? If the Torah is not concerned at all for Tuma in a Korban Tzibur, so then what are we doing this for? So Azok Halal Lomali. Therefore, this is not a useful even on the simplest level, is not a useful way for us to look at the machlokas of Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi. I would say that, look, there's no question, the starting position of both of them is that there's a problem of tuma. I mean, that seems clear. And that tuma is only dechuya hibet sibur, which is why we're making such an attempt to clear it up. So then what is the machlokas between Rebbe Meir, who says we do it every single day, and Rebbe Yossi, who says we only do shlishi v'shvi'i? Very simple. Rebbe Meir savar, amrina tefila bizmana mitzvah. Rebbe Yossi savar, lo amrina tefila bizmana mitzvah. So we have a pasuk that indicates to us that the Torah, when we're chayiv and in a tefila, meaning that we're able to be matayir ourselves, we're supposed to take advantage of that tahira on the spot. That's called tefila bizmana mitzvah. And that we learn out from the repetition where it says v'hizah. This is in the Poraduma Gufa, where it says v'hizah tahor al hatamei bayom ha-shilishi uvayom ha-shivi'i. Okay, so far so good. Then it says v'chita'o bayom ha-shivi'i. So you have to get him into the mikveh on the seventh day. Okay, that could mean that he could go to the mikveh on the seventh day in order to become tahor, right? But then it says again, v'chives begadav, v'rachatz pamayim v'tahar ba'erev, which is again repeating on the seventh day. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. So why are we mentioning it again unless it's really important for us to see to it that he goes dafka on the seventh day, not that he can go on the seventh day? So from there, we learn out the sheet of tefillah bizman mitzvah, and some machlokas had to be derish that pasuk. But apparently, Rebbe Meir holds that tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah. So if tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah, and it mentions here both the din of hizah and vechito, one being hazoya and one being tefillah, so if tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah, so then it's a given that hazoya bizmana is mitzvah. Therefore, according to Rebbe Meir, we want to make sure that you're doing the hazoya on the correct day. So since we don't know that he became Tomei, any day that we're going to be doing the Hazoya may be the day that is the third day from the day that he became Tomei. So we don't know when he became Tomei, maybe 3 days before we brought him in there, right? So the first 3 days may be, each one of them may be the 3 days after he became Tomei prior to coming into the Beis HaMikdash. And the next days are going to possibly be the seventh day, assuming that the first day was the third day, and so on and so forth. Okay, so we do all of these days because it's a mitzvah to do it at the right time, even though obviously we could just do it on the third day at any point. There's no chiyuv to do it on the third day. It means no earlier than the third day. Fine. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, he does not darshan the pasuk that way. He doesn't hold tefillah bizman mitzvah. So according to him, what's the difference? Just make sure that you actually were matayrim. So do it on the third day and on the seventh day, and that way it's fine. Well, you do it on the second day because maybe the day before he had become time. You do it on the first day, maybe 2 days before. What for? As long as we know that we're doing it correctly with the proper 4 days between the first sprinkling and the second sprinkling, that's what's important to us. So Zigmar, no, that's not true. Because Dafka, we know that Rebbe Yossi holds that tefillah bizmana is mitzvah. So how are you going to make this the machlokas that Savar Rebbe Yossi lo amrina tefillah bizmana mitzvah? We know that that's not the case. We had this back, remember, in Masechet Shabbat? Somebody had the Shem Hashem written on his skin. Now, this guy's in big trouble. He can't erase it, because lo tasur and kein l'Hashem elokechem. You're not allowed to erase the shame that was nichta. So what can you do? I mean, you can't wash it. If you wash it or you put oil over it, you're going to be erasing it. So areza lo yechatz v'lo yasuch. You can't stand in a place which is filthy. So you can't stand in a bathroom. Nizdamna lo tefillah shel mitzvah. Now, here's the thing. If he has a tefillah shel mitzvah, so in other words, now I have to make sure that I am tahar. So what do I do? So you can't just go into the water directly for the water to smack up against the shame, which would help to erase it. That's how Rashi learns. That's a little bit of a problem because in Gemara and Shabbos we came out that was a groma and that wouldn't be usher, and that the real problem is that you're not supposed to stand naked in front of the Shem Hashem. That was the problem. Okay, but whatever the issue is. So what you should do is you take a little bit of reed, wrap a reed bandage over it. The reed bandage is going to allow water to come in, but you won't be exposed in front of the Shem Hashem. Okay, so you should be korech alav gemi v'tovel. Rabbi Yossi says, no, don't do that. Just go directly into the mikveh bitovo without the gemi. Just make sure that you don't rub the shame to actually raise it. Now, if then the Gemara goes through a whole bunch of issues, what would be the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama? And we came out, that the machlokas kufa is, that according to Rabbi Yossi, we do not want you to wait until you find gemi. Because you may not be able to do the tefillah on time if you don't find the gemi immediately. And Rabbi Yossi holds the tefillah bismana is very important. So he says it's better not to delay the tefillah in a search for gemi than to delay it to have taken care of this additional problem. But the Tanakama holds, look, if you don't find gemi today, you'll find gemi tomorrow or next week or whatever, because they don't hold tefillah bismana mitzvah. So that means it's exactly the opposite of what you said. You said that Rabbi Yossi is the one who doesn't hold tefillah bizman mitzvah. And here we find that Dafkets Rabbi Yossi who does hold tefillah bizman mitzvah. So the Tanakama server, lo amrino tefillah bizman mitzvah. And Rabbi Yossi is Dafka, the one who server tefillah bizman is mitzvah. So that can't be the machlokas either. So will you tell me, please, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi? So that means we're going to have to agree. Okay, so first of all, both are moda that tuma is only dechuya betzibur. Secondly, both are moda that tefillah bizmana is mitzvah. Okay, so what's the machlokas about whether we need to do the hazoya every single day or only shlishi v'shvi'i? Very simple. Tefillah bizmana may be mitzvah because it says v'chito b'yom ha'shvi'i twice. But that doesn't necessarily mean that hazoya bismana is mitzvah. Because that's a machlokas, whether the mentioning of hazoya in this pasuk constitutes a hekesh from hazoya to tefillah. That's the machlokas. So chabalaka b'fugit. Rabbi Meir holds that actually there's a hekesh here. And makshin an hazoya l'tefillah. So in the same way that we're all agreed that tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah, says Rabbi Meir, this means that hazoya bizmana is a mitzvah, and therefore you have to do every single day, because maybe that way you're going to be makayim, hazoya bizmana mitzvah. Mashenken Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold that we are makish hazoya l'tefillah, lo makshin hazoya l'tefillah, so according to him, all that's important is that we keep the specific time of 4 days between the first hazoya and the last hazoya, and that we do not do the first hazoya unless a minimum of the Yom HaShlishi is true. But if it's only the Yom HaShini, it's not going to help you to do the hazoya. Says Gemara, okay, now you've explained the machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. But remember that there were three shitot. And according to Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim, there's a difference between the Kohen who is preparing for Yom Kippur, and the Kohen who is preparing for Sreifas HaPorah. How exactly does this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, how does that translate into Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim? I mean, what does he hold? Look, Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim, and if he holds, like Rabbi Meir, and that we're makshin and azor l'tefillah, so then we should have to do that for the Kohen who is now being mufresh for Yom HaKippurim, also for the Kohen Gadol. Yet he says that you don't. And if it's okay, so if he says you don't, it must be that he does not hold that we're makish hazoya l'tefillah. But if he tells you you're not makish hazoya l'tefillah, then that would be true even for the Kohen Aser v'Saparah. So why is he saying this Kohen Aser v'Saparah does require a hazoya on every single day? I'm very confused. Doesn't work out in either direction. Says the Gemara, well, it doesn't need to work out in every direction. You know why? Because remember, it could well be that there is no hekesh of hazoya l'tefillah, but as we've said all along, when it comes to the Kohen service HaParah, we're doing all kinds of crazy things because of the special mala sha'asu b'parah, that since we were mekil to be metame, the person bedavka, so that it should be done with a tful yom, we end up doing all these chumras. So one of the super duper crazy chumras that we do to sensitize people to the hakpada that we have on doing a parah aduma b'taira, even though we go out of our way to show the tzedukim that we don't care about their drosha, that it has to be with Mura v'Shemesh. Because of that, this is another one of those weird ma'alot, and we do it every single day, even though there is really no particular point in doing that. So ma'ala b'yama. Now tell me, we have a braita that says something very interesting. Ein ben kohen asorefet hapara lekohen gadol biyom haKippurim. There's no difference between the dinim of a kohen asorefet hapara and the dinim of a kohen who is preparing for Yom Kippur, except for one thing, and that is that the kohen gadol for Yom Kippur, the reason that we're making him do this whole 7 days of prisha, is in order to prepare him for the chumrah of the kedusha being nichlas lifnei velifnim. Now, obviously, that's not true about the kohen who's being served as a poro, but there's no specific prisha of kedusha. On the contrary, it's not even done in the Beis HaMikdash. So since the prisha is the kedusha and is unrelated to the dinim of tuma, so because of that, echav ha-kohanim nogimbo, we don't have any problems in other kohanim coming to visit him and touching him. We're not worried about any kind of tuma, as long as we can make sure that the tumah we get rid of before Yom Kippur. Okay, so like he's going to go to the mikveh before. Masha Einkein, the one who's going to be served as Hapora, the whole idea is that it is bedafket to prove how makbid we are on tumah. And therefore, prishato is letahara. The whole idea is to make sure that he's super duper tahar. Because of that, ein echav ha-kohanim nogimbo. So we do not allow him to be visited and touched by other kohanim. So who is that price going according to? Well, the truth is it could be going either according to Rabbi Meir or according to Rabbi Yossi. Because, I mean, basically that's true according to both of them. No matter what the dinim of tuma are that we want to be makbid about Azoya Bizmana, but the purpose of the mafrishin is a different purpose. They both agree to that. The only one that cannot be true according to is Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim, because Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim says there is a major logistical difference between them, namely that the Kohen Gadol, who is being prepared for Yom Kippur, does not require Hazoya Shlishi on every single day, Shema Shlishi, and so on, and every single day, Shema Shvi. Masha Ein Kein, the Kohen, Hasorev Sapora, does. So it can't be going according to Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim, because Ha'ika Nami Hai, there's also the question of how many days we will do the Hazoya on, according to him. Tosis points out, by the way, that there's also another difference, but it's just not a significant difference in the dinim of the Paradum or the Kohen, because it's not more Chomor or less Chomor. And that is that one of them goes to Lishkat Farhedrin and the other one goes to Lishkat Beis Ha'Even. Okay, so but that's irrelevant. I mean, it's just where. And it has nothing to do with, you know, any kind of halachic difference. Anyway, now the question is, how do we understand this idea of being mazeh every single day? I mean, even mazeh every single day has to have some kind of, I mean, to use silly words like super tahar, it's a little ridiculous. There's no concept of super tahar. So, I mean, so we brought it down to the issue of whether hazoya bizmana is mitzvah, right? But, I mean, how does Hazoya Bizmana Mitzvah, how does that make us do Hazoya every single day? Because there is no basis, even if you hold Hazoya Bizmana Mitzvah, there is no basis for doing it on the fourth day. Because, look, consider. Maskefa Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. I understand. The first day we do the Hazoya, because the first day of his arrival to the Beis HaMikdash may be the third day from the point where he was unwittingly exposed to Tumas HaMetz, right? Okay, so the first day may be the third day. The second day may be the third day, because maybe he was exposed a day later. So Bishlam HaRishon, I understand Shema Shlishi. The second day may be the third day. The third day, maybe the third day. Maybe he became Tamei in the morning before the taxi picked him up to bring him into the Beis HaMikdash Lishkas Farhedrin, and he wasn't aware of it. So, okay, so the third day may be the third day. And I also understand, assuming that the first day was the third day, so then the fifth day is the seventh day, right? So we started off on the first day. We did the Hazaya. We count four more days to do the seventh day. That turns out to be the fifth day of his prisha. The sixth day, maybe the seventh day of his prisha, in the event that the second day was the third day. The seventh day, maybe the seventh day of the prisha, assuming that it was the third day that was the third day. 3 + 4 = 7. But why the heck do we do any kind of Hazoya on the fourth day? The fourth day cannot be a day that requires Hazoya. It's impossible. We know that he didn't become Tomei Meis from the time that he was brought into the Beis HaMikdash. So the fourth day can't be the third day. It can't be the seventh day, because the first time that we were mazeh him was the first day. So it would only be the sixth day. So why are we doing Hazoya, even if we're trying to say Hazoya b'zman ha-mitzvah? Okay? This is something very weird about this whole halacha. I mean, no matter how you look at it, it makes absolutely no sense. So therefore, the idea over here is that we're missing a point. The point being, it doesn't mean what it says. What do you mean? Well, it says we're mazah on him all 7 days. But we can't be mazah on him all 7 days, because we just learned when we were learning Psachim that you are not allowed to be mazah on Shabbos, right? The only time that we allowed you to be mazah on Shabbos, that was that question about whether it's going to prevent your bringing your Korban Pesach. Fine. So over there, we worked it out that if the day before was a Shabbos, so we allowed you. But we said the Farish over there in the Mishnah that Hazah is considered to be a Shvus Rabbanan, and it's not Docha Shabbos. Remember, we had two basic issues over there. One was that it's similar to Tikkun Mana. So to fix up a guy and to make sure that he's Tahar is Aser, because it's Doimela Tikkun Mana. The other issue was, we're cautious, maybe you will carry the Srefas Apara, maybe you will carry the Rosh Hashanah. The Meipara, you'll carry Rosh Hashanah. But anyway, certainly for this far-out idea, we were never matir a shvuz. So what are you going to tell me when it says all 7 days? It doesn't really mean all 7 days. It means 7 days, but not including Shabbos. Okay. So then if that's the case, if you've showed me that logically it makes no sense to include the fourth day, so then it means the same idea. So even though it says 7 days, it means any of the relevant 7 days. That's what 7 days mean. It doesn't mean literally every 7 days. So every relevant 7 days means not on Shabbos, not on the fourth day. Okay, because it's not relevant. And it's meant to be understood that way. Well, my Rabbah therefore says, Rabbah, look, Yom Kippur is not up to us to determine what day of the week it's going to come out on. Okay, so the Kohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippurim, de lo b'didan ta'ayam yot, it's not up to us to define when that is. It's totally in Kiva the Archa Tayyam Yot. It's completely dependent on when Yom Kippur falls out that year. So there's nothing we can do. So we take him to the Beis HaMikdash on the third day of Tishrei. Okay, that gives us the 7 days, Kodem L'Yom HaKippur. Whenever that works out, on whatever day of the week, Cholemas de Misrami Tata B'Tishrei, that's the day that we're mafreshim. Avokoina Sorefet HaPara, we're over there, it is dependent on us. We can define when we want to burn the Pora Aduma. There's no particular mitzvah when to bring a Pora Aduma. So that's B'didan Talya Milta. So because of that, we always work it out that 7 days before turns out to be a Wednesday. So we start the Hafrasha on a Wednesday. Why? Because that way the fourth day from the first day of the Hafrasha will work out on Shabbos. And anyway, we're not going to be Mafresh on Shabbos. And this way, we don't need to be Mafresh on Shabbos because Shabbos is the fourth day and therefore cannot be a day that requires Hazoya, because it's neither the third day nor the seventh day. So that way, it works out very conveniently. Okay, so that finally defines for us the din of the way in which we're going to handle issues of Tuma V'Taira in terms of the Kohen that were mafrish for Shivas Yomi. So again, if it wouldn't be that we would be doing this hafrasha because of our limud from the Miluim, whether you hold that that's a real limud or whether you hold, as appears both from Rashi and Tosfos, that it's a getter of a meaningful esmachta, which the Torah is telling you this is the way that you should be prepared for the first Knesset HaMikdash. So once we have that din, or whether it's a Libra Reish Lakish that we learn it out from Kabbalah Satera, so over there, even though it's only 6 days, once we have that din, we start taking into consideration the issues of Tuma. So we're going to be also more Machmer because of Rabbi Yehuda, maybe his wife will be a Safek Nida, and stuff like that. Furthermore, we're going to see to it that we'll try to be Machmer, because since we hold it only, that Tuma is only the Chuyabet Sibur, and we want to make sure that there is no tumor whatsoever. So because of that, we are going to treat him as if he's tamei, and we'll be metayer him. There's a question of what days we'll be metayer him, how much we want him to be sensitive to the tumor. Fine, I understand. But that would be the mocker of it. Kohen Aser v'Zappora is specifically a din that was mitukan from the beginning to be the equivalent of issues of tuma, unless you hold like the shita of the original Gemara, which turns out to be the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan, that there's an actual remez in the pasuk of the Miluim Kasher Asa B'Yom Hazeh, the Tziva, and we're going to learn out Tziva as a Gzeirah Shava, or La'asot, to teach me that it's true also about a Kohen Aser v'Zappora. But nonetheless, since we have so many dinim that are malois b'pora, so we make sure that, first of all, the place that we bring him to is a makom where nothing can ever become tamei, because it's all made out of clay gulolim and clay avonim and so on. So that would be one important difference. The other important difference could be expressed in the way in which we'll see to it that we make sure that we're maza on him on every day that could possibly be the day that was either a shlishi or a shvi, to make sure that everybody sees that we are very, very makbet on the dinim of tumah v'tayra on the paraduma, despite the fact that we went out of our way to be metame, the same kohen that is doing the shreifas hapara. Okay, so this is the interrelationship that is defined at the beginning of the Gemara to our knisa into the Beis HaMikdash, the knisa into the Mishkan at the first time, the knisa lifnei v'lifnim at the first time, the knisa of Moshe Rabbeinu Tar Sinai, and to go into the Anan, the relationship of the way in which our knisa into the Mishkan is essentially going into, on Yom Kippur, going into the Kabbalah Satera, because of the Lucha Shniyim that were also the equivalent of our Sinai, and that are now Munach in Lifnai V'Lifnim, in the Orein, where we go into, and the Onan that is there is the equivalent of the Onan, as we made Mamish the question of how Moshe Rabbeinu could go in between the Onan, the whole question, whether it was a Shvil, was it similar to Kriyas Yamsuf, all of those in Yonim, we have a beautiful picture of the entire period and its relationship to Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Binyan HaMishkan, and the years of the Kiyam of the Beis HaMikdash, which we'll see more of later, and ultimately even to the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash and what goes wrong. So one of the first steps that brings us close to an understanding of what goes wrong is actually Merubas in the Mishkan, the Mishnah, because the Mishnah identifies the Lishka that we take the Kohen Gadol to as the Lishka's Far Hedrin. Now, that was not really its name. The Far Hedrin is actually a Greek name, which means bureaucrats. It's a little bit weird. So asks the Gemara, when we say that we bring the Kohen Gadol to Lishkat Parhedrin, that's not the name. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda explains, look, we all know that it wasn't really called the Lishkat Parhedrin. V'chi Lishkat Parhedrin haita. It's ridiculous. It was called the Lishkat Balwati. And the Lishkat Balwati means Dafka nobility. It's the exact opposite. I mean, when you're talking about Paradrin, you're talking about low-class bureaucrats that are part of political systems and that are appointed because of nepotism and stuff like that. And all they try to do is outdo the other and how much they can make a name and money for themselves. That's a terrible name to give to the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol. Mashenken, the original name, which was called Balvati, meant these were nobility, and that was the other meaning of Kohen. Remember, as Rashi explains, that the Lashon of Kohen, that B'nai David were Kohanim, means that they were noble people, Choshevah people. So why don't we keep up the name Balwati? By the way, if you look up the modern name Balwati, which is an Arabic name, it means nobleman. And it's still used in this way. Take a look on the sites of names on the internet. Balwati means glamour, self-discipline, ambition, and so on and so forth. So it's a very harsh of a name. Okay. So why did we change the name? Says Rabbi Yehuda B'tchila, Hayukurino Talishkat Balwati. The truth is that originally the Kohanim Gedolim were noblemen. And so because of that, it was called Balwati. But afterwards, which was after the Tkufa of Shimon HaTzadik, Mitor Shenotnim Alav Mamon LaKuhuna, they used to buy their way in from the Malchei HaChashmonaim, because the Tzedukim had the upper hand. And so they would buy their way in, and since they would buy their way in, they were not ro'i to go in Lifnai V'Lifnim. Not to mention the fact that if they were Tzedukim, they actually did the Aveda of the Keteras wrong. And remember, that's mamish what Rashi brings out right here at the beginning of this week's parsha of Achrei Mot, V'lo Yamutu. That's why it says, Achrei Mot Shnei V'nei Aaron, a marshal to two doctors. One doctor says to a patient, you know, don't sleep in the damp, and because you don't want to die, and it's dangerous. Okay. The other doctor says, you know your friend George and your friend Joe that died from sleeping in the damp, you know? You don't want to be like them, do you? So we mention the idea of Bnei Aaron. Okay, so Gufa, they didn't make it. They would never survive the year. So since they would never survive the year, they were the same as these bureaucrats, which every single year you get a new guy in there, and he's got to show that he's better than the previous guy. So what they would do is they would actually remodel the Lishkas Parhedrin every year. This was like the new Lishkas Parhedrin of the great and grand Kohen Gadol number 310. I mean, who the heck cares anymore? And this is really a testament to human folly and stupidity. So we couldn't really call it Balvati anymore. So we actually gave it the name to remind them of where they are, and they better be careful. So that would be like the Achrei Mot Shnei B'nei Aaron. So Mitoch Shenotnim Alav Mamon LaKuhuna, and they would now flip it every year. Machlifino Toko Shnemazer Chodesh, they needed to have a new Lishka every 12 months, because they would all redo the Lishka, the same way that these bureaucrats always do. It's always remodeled offices. The guy's moving in, calls up Alon right away, listen, I need a completely new design for this office. I ain't going to be here in this office that idiot before me used. And it's amazing, right? So the Machlifino Toko Shnemazer Chodesh, Lefichach Hayu Korino To Lishkat Parhedrin. That's exactly why they would call it the Lishkas Parhedrin, because it was so low class. We're going to go through tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, the way in which we actually can see how many Kohanim Gedolim ended up working in the second Beis HaMikdash. And it's absolutely astonishing that if you take out the years of the Kohanim that we know to be Tzadikim, then you end up with mamish, a Kohen every single year, if not more. So, okay, there's another thing that involves us in the Parhedrin, and that is that the Mishnah says in Tmai, Tananatam, that Nachtomim, if you have professional bakers, so the Chachomim were not mechayev them to be mafrish Tmai from everything. They would only need to be mafrish Trumat Maaser. They would not have to be mafrish Truma, and they would be mafrish Chala, because those are the things that you are only going to take, like this ends up being 1/100th plus a little bit more, that you would take from them, because that's mamish, the equivalent of the most chomer. Now, I understand why not Truma Gedola, because nobody needs to take Demai Truma Gedola, because the Braita, when it describes the Takana of Demai, which is actually a Takana of the Kuna Gedola, interesting enough, because it was Yochanan Kohen Gadol who was the one that was mitakein Demai, so it's interesting that it relates here to the idea of Parhedrin. So it says over there that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was shalach b'chol gvul Yisrael. He had people going around, and they took a survey to find out what exactly were people doing in terms of Trumas HaMaaser. And he found out that everybody, even Amei HaAretz, were mafrish Truma Gedola, because it didn't cost you anything. Because, look, you could take off the tiniest bit, call it Truma, and you would still be Yotze to Truma. So, okay, that they did. So everybody was mafrish Truma Gedola, but you could only rely on that. And therefore, he never made a takana of Demai to take off Truma Gedola. Not for anybody, certainly not for Nachton. I understand. I also understand why we don't make him give Maaser Rishon and Maaser Oni. I understand also, because listen, that is a financial burden, not an iser burden, right? So, hamotzi mechavero, olav araya. So if somebody claims, listen, I'm an oni and I want you to give me money, How do you know it wasn't given from the guy who grew the grain that we used the flour of? So for sure, we don't have to do that. So I understand that that's also not a problem. And they were able to keep it for themselves. And that wouldn't be a problem. But I don't understand why Maaser Sheni, why were they not mechuyev take off Maaser Sheni and go up to Yerushalayim and eat it? It's a nefesh of a nisku v'nechlu b'Yerushalayim, just like everybody else. Why don't they do that? So it ought to be the same. And the Gemara answers because of the Parhedrin. Omar Ula, mitoch she'Parhedrin alalu choftim otam kol 12 chodesh. Listen, these guys are under such economic pressures. One of the things that this refers to the real Parhedrin, the ones that were appointed by the governor, and they're being constantly pressured to lower their prices because of government price controls, which is really going to force them to take losses. And this way, the Parhedrin are able to give them all types of government fines and make money off of them and so on. So the Rabbanan said, since Rov Amei Haaretz do take off all of the various things, they take off Maaser Ani and Maaser Sheni, it's only a miut. So because of the Parhedrin, we are not going to insist that the professional bakers should furthermore be under pressure to also have to take off another 10%. Forget it. So let them off so that they can survive financially. And what is the meaning of Parhedrin? Parhedrin means pursi. It means the cops that run around or the people that are in a position of being empowered on the lowest level of bureaucracy. Those are always the toughest people to deal with.